Daleville Christian Church, it is important to us that you know what you believe, that we know what we believe, and so each week there is an affirmation of our faith, and it is shared with each of the messages from Daleville Christian Church on the website. Today's affirmation of faith is from Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God's word today is from Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We began this new year of 2016 talking about resolutions. And I like this statement in front of a church sign. Let your resolution be his solution. Let your resolution be his, that is, God's solution. Whether you are a New Year's resolution person or not, I am not. Everyone needs goals. I have goals, you should have goals. Come to find out that our Lord has goals for us. So many believers believe that our Lord wants something from us, when the truth is, our Lord wants something for us. Jesus stated this truth clearly in his first public reading and lesson from God's word from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. Jesus began his public career saying, "I have come to proclaim freedom and recovery of sight and to set the oppressed free." You might not be sure that this proclamation applies to you, but it does. Most of us are prisoners to our own bad habits. Jesus can set us free from those. Jesus wants to set us free from that prison. Some of us have created our own prisons. Jesus wants to set us free from those. Habits are not only what we do, habits are the way we think. Not all habits are helpful. Some of us can't see the forest for the trees. Jesus can heal our blindness. What did Jesus say? You and I must remove the log from our own eyes before we can ever hope to help someone who has a speck in their eye. Jesus wants us to remove the log from our own eye, and Jesus will help us. Now let's take a break there for a few moments. We talked last time about healings with instructions in the Bible. That although we tend to think about miracles as being done for us, the truth is there are many miracles that came with instructions. We actually have another such miracle today, today's reading from God's Word. The Bible clearly states that the lepers were not cleansed until after they started to follow Jesus' instructions, which were to go to show themselves to the priests. This requirement is the fulfillment of the Jewish law in the Old Testament. Only the priest could verify the healing of what was called leprosy. But before we talk about this and other healings, we want to talk about miracles. I appreciate the book Miracles Are For Real by James Garlow and Keith Wall, which has prompted this part of this message, and I encourage you to read this book. But Pastor Garlow reminds us there are miracles on several levels. I don't want to take a lot of time on these, but I have outlined them in the sermon notes. Pastor Garlow likes to say it this way, so we will remember it. Not all miracles are created equal. Not all miracles are created equal. The simplest answered prayer is a miracle. Example would be simply finding something you can't find and praying about it. Lord, I can't find this. Help me find it. And you find it. The more complex answered prayer, something you need or want for someone else, and something happens to make that happen. A coincidence. Many believers say coincidences are nothing but God's appointments. Or as another friend mentioned to me, coincidences are simply things that God wants to remain anonymous about. Then there are the miracles that are against all odds. You know, how could this possibly happen? Well, it could possibly happen, but what are the odds? So distant possibilities take place are also miracles. And then finally, what we usually use the word miracle for, something for which there is no reasonable explanation. And too often we focus on that rather than notice the other types of miracles that are around us and that occur to us. And belief in miracles also falls into categories. Believers will often say they believe in miracles. However, when asked about miracles happening in their own lives, the statistics go down. Why? One reason is that people aren't sure that our loving God would do a miracle for them. And that's sad. That means that we are not sure how loving or how good our Lord is. Perhaps we're only using the one definition of miracle, that being something for which there is no reasonable explanation, when there are other types of miracles. We are just not thinking of those. Or, since coincidences do happen to just about everyone, these believers choose to believe not in a loving God, but that chance plays a bigger role in their life. But that brings us to another basic belief. With regard to miracles, you're either in or you're out. Our God is a loving God, and our loving God wants to demonstrate His love to you personally. Are you in or are you out on that? Not only has belief in miracles dropped slightly in this country in the last few years, there have always been more people who believe in God than believe in miracles. So if you're sitting here and believe in God, but not sure if you believe in miracles, you're not alone. You have company. But I'm telling you, our Lord Jesus is still in the miracle business. But the point is this, there are several levels or types of miracle, and we'll talk about miracles and people's doubts about miracles. But for now, let's get to this miracle, usually titled Jesus Heals 10 Men with Leprosy. I've seen it many times when reading about Scripture, especially some Scriptures that have some details we don't quite get. You'll even find some scholars who suggest there must have been an error in the rewriting of that Bible verse, or that report was made carelessly when it was written down. My response is no, you are the one who read the Bible carelessly. It isn't written carelessly. Devote yourself more to the details. So in today's report of Jesus traveling in an area between Samaria and Galilee, so in an area like that, one does not know who you will meet, or as my English teacher would tell me, one does not know whom you will meet. Jesus is met by a group of men who have leprosy. The sermon notes tell us what the Bible tells us about leprosy. I just remind you that we are not sure that every case of leprosy in the Bible is the same as today's leprosy, known as Hansen's disease. The Bible describes a range of ailments as leprosy, and they don't all fit a description of Hansen's disease. But that isn't a problem. What we do know is that these afflicted men must announce their condition to any to whom they draw near or come near to them. Leprosy is a ritually unclean ailment, not just a disease. That's an important note. Leprosy in the Bible is a ritually unclean ailment, not just a disease. We moderns think an actual physical disease is worse than an ailment that alienates us from God, which only demonstrates what heathens we really are. In the ancient world, if a person had a choice, they might prefer a physical ailment rather than a spiritual affliction. These 10 men have both a physical affliction and a spiritual affliction. They have leprosy. Because these men are ritually unclean, they must announce their condition, and so they stand at some distance and they cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They call Jesus Master. Is that important? Well, I know that in all of Luke's gospel, only certain men call Jesus Master. Who calls Jesus Master in Luke's book? Who in Luke's book calls Jesus Master? The disciples. Only the disciples call Jesus this. These afflicted men also call Jesus Master. And they ask, "Have mercy on us." The word commonly translated as mercy is also translated here as "have compassion" or even "pity." But the word in Greek carries the emphasis to render aid. So these 10 men ask the Master to render aid to them. Notice that Jesus does not lay his hands on them. Jesus cannot lay his hands on them without violating the Jewish law. Rather, Jesus asks the men to fulfill the Jewish law and instructs them to show themselves to the priests, who can alone make the proper judgment on their cleanliness. The men are obedient to Jesus, and the Bible tells us what? The Bible tells us that as the men are going, they are what? The men are cleansed. Jesus uses the same word when Jesus says to the man who returned to give thanks, "Were not all 10 cleansed?" Are the men healed? They certainly are. The Bible uses that word too. But we're showing our ignorance of what is most important. The men's relationship with God is mended. The men are ritually clean. They are ritually acceptable. They may now participate in their faith with their community. This state of cleanliness, ritual cleanliness, is a state they could never have hoped for while afflicted with leprosy. These men are now ritually clean, and yes, they are also healed. But more importantly, their relationship with God is healed. But one of the men returns to give thanks to Jesus. Specifically, the man praised God and thanked Jesus. And Jesus said, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Too many writers and pastors think this just means that the man is healed, but there's more to it. The word for "made well" is the same word for "saved." Your faith has saved you. Only a few translations will tell you this difference. Our English scientific interest usually makes us translate this as "you are made well." But I am a pastor, so you tell me, which is more important, being well or being saved? Yes, being saved is more important. It's not really a trick question. I think another translation that helps is that Jesus says, your faith has made you whole, because we understand that there can be a difference between being well and being whole. There is a difference between being in remission and being cured. You and I really want to be cured. You and I really want to be whole. You and I really want to be saved. And that salvation is available in Jesus. And I remind you that I wasn't saved once. I'm being saved every day. Jesus is saying salvation has come to the one who gives thanks, although cleansing came to all of them. Do we understand this? Jesus is saying salvation has come to the one who gives thanks, although cleansing came to all of them. They were all healed. They were all cleansed. But salvation has come to the one who gives thanks. So we finish today's message talking about gratitude. And I'm not going to explain this next quote from the book, The Upward Spiral. The book is entitled The Upward Spiral, Using Neuroscience to Reverse the Course of Depression. And here's the quote from page 152. As discussed in chapter 3, some brains are wired to focus more on the negative, and that tendency gets even worse in depression. But there's a powerful force that directly combats negativity, and it's called gratitude. And that's a direct quotation from the book. A book on neuroscience says, be thankful. The Bible has the phrase, give thanks, about 50 times. The ancient books of the Bible, with no scientific knowledge, contains the wisdom of God for us. Beginning in the book 1 Chronicles chapter 16, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Now you and I know that it isn't just being grateful, it's being grateful to God. There are those who argue that our brains have sections of the brain devoted simply to God thoughts. The Apostle Paul wrote, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Prayers of thanksgiving. Dr. Korb, in his book, The Upward Spiral, lists 7 benefits of being grateful. He particularly suggests making a written Thanksgiving list, and that people begin their day when they wake up with gratitude. One of the instructions to the tribe of Levi, those who served as priests in the tent of meeting and in the temple, said this, again in 1 Chronicles, they were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. Instructions to praise the Lord in the morning. Now here's a caution, as we Americans tend to give thanks for what we have. Dr. Korb writes, you might not have a new vehicle, but some people don't have a vehicle at all. This may seem like the same thing as gratitude, but it's not. Comparing your fortunate circumstances to others less fortunate does not have the same benefits as gratitude. Gratitude is having appreciation for what is, your situation, who you are, where you are in your condition with what you have. In contrast, you know what envy is? Envy is not only wanting what someone else has. Envy is also a failure to appreciate what God has given you. Envy is not only wanting what someone else has, envy is a failure to appreciate what God has given you. We are called to be grateful. In the Bible, all the lepers are cleansed, but only one is shown praising God and giving thanks. Now, having said that, I will grant you that there are times and places when it is difficult to feel grateful, but here's what Dr. Korb says in his book, The Upward Spiral. Once while in a Boy Scout camp, Dr. Korb says, he saw an old scoutmaster heading down to the lake with a rod and reel to go fishing. A couple of hours later, as he was walking back, I asked him how the fishing was. "Great," the fisherman responded. "How many fish did you catch?" I asked. "I didn't catch anything," came the reply. But the old man added, "It's called fishing. It's not called catching." Dr. Korb adds that you can't always find something to be grateful for, but just because you can't find it doesn't mean that it's useless to look. The benefits come not from finding gratitude that matters most, it's remembering to look for gratitude in the first place. Let me finish by telling you a little personal story. I love commercials. That is, I like good commercials or commercials that make me laugh. In the 1990s, I noticed commercials for Hair Club for Men. The company was founded by Cy Sperling and still exists as simply Hair Club because both men and women can be hair challenged. Founder and president of the company, Cy Sperling, appeared in the commercials for Hair Club for Men, and here is his tagline: "I'm not only the president, I'm also a client." I've always thought that was a powerful endorsement for a product. If the owner isn't just some corporate guy in a distant office building, but uses the product. You might recall Victor Kiam bought the Norelco Shaver Company, made a similar tagline in his commercial. "I like this shaver so much, I bought the company." Friends, I'm here to tell you I'm not just the pastor. I'm a person who seeks to practice gratitude. Right now I'm working on pulling photographs together and displaying them, photographs of pleasant memories, moments, things, people I am grateful for. Gratitude will be seen in those photos, and I will be reminded to be grateful when I look at them. Gratitude is a benefit to us because the Bible says we should do it. We look at it as some sort of obligation. When neuroscience says it will benefit you, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Friends, you and I can participate in our own healing if we will follow the instructions. We can help make our own healing rapid and complete. Do what God says. The miracles are all around us. You can work on writing a gratitude list. There's a benefit in just working on the list. You can fish for thanksgiving and gratitude. There's benefit just in that. You can review your thanksgivings every morning. There's benefit in that. There is wholeness in that. Give thanks to God in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.